Our dream matchup for the Stanley Cup Finals is upon us. On top of that, we'll break down the Lightning win over the Rangers and when it was actually over. John Gibson potentially being on the block as well. And the coaching carousel that continuously goes round and round. Episode 137 of the Second Thoughts Hockey Podcast. Let's go. A beautiful Tuesday edition of the show. June the 14th, Second Thoughts Hockey Podcast. Kyle Grimard, your host as always. I love the fact that we're halfway through June and yet there's still hockey to come. It's a great one. Follow along Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify, Instagram, and Twitter if you want to follow the page on socials, ST Hockey Podcast, mine at Kyle Grimard. Another piece out for the hockey writers, by the way. I just did one, another player grades throughout the course of the season for the 2021-2022 campaign. Bruce Boudreau in there for the Vancouver Canucks. I wonder what his grade could be. Make sure you go check it out. The next one right now on Bo Horvat's new contract. Not this year, but upcoming. It's not, you know, it's never too early to look ahead to the future, especially locking up your captain. We got a lot to get to today. We got the Tampa Bay Lightning taking down the New York Rangers in 6 games. But I'm going to tell you when it was really over. We have a dream matchup for the Stanley Cup Finals that we said here on this show. I said if there was one matchup I wanted, it was this one. And we got it. And it's the best case scenario for everybody. I'll break that down a little bit. John Gibson, goaltender for the Anaheim Ducks, might not be the goaltender for the Anaheim Ducks. He is potentially on the block, asked for a trade. Where could his best fits be? And the coaching carousel, all the coaches that are up for grabs. We could know as early as this week where which coaches land, and then that might create a domino effect, and we'll just continuously go on and on and on. So lots to get to today, but we'll start with the Tampa Bay Lightning topping the New York Rangers 2-1 in Game 6 to move on to their third consecutive Stanley Cup Final.
To try to keep their season alive. Long-range pass. Stamkos driving to the net. Stamkos has the puck! And he scores! What a response, but they are going to have a look at this one.
No question. Igor Shesterkin thought he was interfered with here by Stamkos on the follow-through. Beautiful pass by Kucherov right after the tying goal. Here's the first one. It's in the glove, and then it goes off the body of Stamkos as he flies by. Now, I don't know if he gets it with the shaft of his stick.
None other than Steven Stamkos scoring immediately after the Rangers tied the game at 1. Stamkos goes on to give the Lightning their 2-1 lead, and that would be the game-winning goal from this one. They will now take on the Colorado Avalanche in the Stanley Cup Finals. They have gone for the third consecutive time. So Tampa Bay's looking to become the first NHL to three-peat since the Islanders dynasty did it in the early 1980s, if you remember those teams. Stammer, 21 seconds after the Rangers, Frank Vatrano tied the game in the third period. Stammer comes out, goes bang. Automatically gives the Lightning the inevitable 2-1 lead that they would not relinquish from there on out. Here's the funny thing. This series, everyone was like, oh, the Rangers are 5-0 and facing elimination, and you know, the Rangers can bounce back. They have any of the team. I'll tell you when this series is over. The series was over when Tampa won game 5. In the series against the Carolina Hurricanes. Right? What was the big thing? Carolina was the home ice team. All the Rangers had to do was win a game on the road. And they did. They won game 7 on the road. But you knew that home ice wasn't going to factor in as much in this series. Now it did. There was only one game in the series that was won on the road. It just so happened to be game 6. But I remember saying when it was the Rangers-Carolina, if Carolina moved on, I said, you cannot bank on just winning your games at home because Tampa's going to win at least one on the road. They've done it in every single round so far, and it took until game 6, but they were going to win a game on the road. Toronto-Tampa was nuts because it was Toronto-Tampa, Toronto-Tampa, Toronto, Tampa, and then Tampa won their second consecutive game. The series against Florida obviously went Tampa all the way. But for the Rangers, that series with Carolina was all about home ice until game seven. And they were the ones that broke the, they broke the streak of consecutive home wins. This series, game five, was that game. And you feel like once the Rangers were up 2-0 and then Tampa came all the way back and tied it at 2, if Tampa took game five in New York, it's over. That's a wrap. Like, you can book it and go home. And yes, the Rangers played well. It was a tight defensive game in game six. I watched bits and pieces, and then I ended up watching the highlights afterwards. But when Andrei Vasilevskiy only has to make 20 saves, that was really the best effort. Tampa clamped down that much. 50-goal scorer, Chris Kreider, Artemi Panarin. And I know Ryan Strome was hurt too, but you got Adam Fox on the back end, Zibanejad. 20 shots. By the way, Andrei Vasilevskiy now, in his last 8 series clinching games, is 8-0, 991 save percentage, and a .25 goals against, 6 shutouts. He has only given up 2 goals, 1 against the Leafs, and 1 here against the Rangers. And I will continue to say this. We'll get into the dream matchup in just a little bit. But up until this point, Toronto has been Tampa's toughest out. Not the Rangers. Rangers are up 2-0. And yeah, had them, they were up, I think, in game 3 as well. And that was probably the widest margin a team has had Tampa. But once Tampa won game 3, Rangers never, I didn't have a sense that the Rangers were going to win a game at all. Game 5 was maybe the only game, but even then, Tampa played lights out. And in, even in the series clinching game in game 7, Toronto outshot Tampa. They outshot Tampa in game 6 as well. The Rangers did not push Andrei Vasilevskiy. You're going to beat the Tampa Bay Lightning in a game that you need to win. You got to put more than 20 shots on net or 21 shots, whatever the number was. You're not winning a game. But regardless, and again, that's why I still think Toronto has been Tampa's toughest opponent to this point. I think Colorado is going to be a way different ballgame. But I will say this for the Rangers and Rangers fans, because I've seen a lot of Rangers fans kind of hating the fact the Rangers lost and they're disappointed in their season. I like that mentality, right? It's Stanley Cup or bust. But remember, the Rangers were a team that has won 2 lottery picks in the last, 3 years with Alexei Lafreniere and Kaapo Kakko, or 2 in the last 4 years, whatever the number is. Chris Kreider randomly, for the first time in his career, scored 50 goals. He's never done that before in his career. Adam Fox continuously grew. Jacob Trouba has finally established himself as really that top 4 guy that the Rangers traded for initially. And Igor Shesterkin had a Vezina-caliber season, Vezina-winning season, where he wasn't a finalist last year. You've got a lot going for you. Yes, you're going to lose Andrew Kopp, and you're going to lose a couple other guys who you traded for at the deadline. Every team that bought a rental player, that's happening to them. But this team is building. You can now trade. Let's say you don't sign everybody. Ryan Strome's in our UFA. That's a big decision. Kakko is an RFA, which, by the way, he was benched in game 6, by the way, too. So I did not understand that decision whatsoever, because wasn't Kakko, Lafreniere, and Hedl like their best line? I know Hedl was injured as well, but weren't those two, like Lafreniere and Kakko, playing really good? I didn't understand it, but whatever. The Rangers are going to be fine. Your goalie of the future is locked up at 5-6 for the next 3 years. Your 50-goal score is not going anywhere. Panarin's not going anywhere. Zibanejad's not going anywhere. Fox isn't going anywhere. Trouba's not going anywhere. Keandre Miller you still got as well. I think Filip Hedl's locked up for 1 more year too. This team's fine. Worry about Strome or replace Strome with, I don't know, a Kadri at the deadline if you really want to improve. You know what I mean? The Rangers are going to be just fine. That was a great, they overachieved. Let me say this, for a Rangers fan, at the beginning of the season, and by the way, I don't know if you remember what happened after game one of the regular season. It was Tampa, Washington. I heard this from 32 Thoughts podcast. Washington beat the brakes off the Rangers, game one. And this is a Jeff Merrick analysis here. Basically, he was like, if I told you after that game one shellacking to the Washington Capitals that you'd be one of the top four teams remaining in the NHL, make the Eastern Conference Finals, you'd lose in six games to the two-time defending Stanley Cup champions. Oh, and by the way, your goalie's going to win the Vezina. You have a 50-goal scorer who's not named Artemi Panarin. Your high draft picks finally produced. Filip Hedl came out of nowhere and has really established himself. And your defense core has looked better than ever. How mad are you really going to be? You build off this. At some point, you can go toe-to-toe at any moment with Tampa because you've got the goalie to do it. The scoring power is there. Now you've got the experience. Run it back. Or replace Strome with another second-line center. You know what I mean? The Rangers are in great shape. They're going to get something for Alexander Georgiev, who's not going to stay, but he's an RFA. If they move Kako, that's fine, but they can move him and get some pieces too. Like, the Rangers have a lot to work with here. The Ryan Reeves thing and the Barclay Goodrow thing, it worked. Congratulations, it worked. They were tough out in the playoffs. They took out Carolina, they took out Pittsburgh, and they took Tampa to six. There's nothing to complain about if you're a Rangers fan, and I'd be pretty pumped about it. Now, let's move on here to the Stanley Cup Finals, aka the dream matchup. This is the prediction that I had last episode and that I hoped for. The Avalanche were already in. I was banking on Tampa Bay getting him. I'm not saying that the Rangers were bad by any means. But this is the argument. You could make the argument that these are two of the best teams, not just remaining, but in the league in general. And now they're facing off. I feel like we have been robbed over the last 2 years in the Stanley Cup Finals. Dallas was a nice story. Ben Bishop gets hurt. Anton Khudobin. Kubi comes in. Or Shubi, whatever they called him. Right? It was a great story. Played lights out. Dallas goes to the finals. And then they got shellacked. They got shellacked by Tampa. Right? Wasn't that in 5 or 6? Last year. Tampa-Montreal. Montreal, this underdog seat. It's a great story. Carey Price and Weber on their last legs. They go into the finals, and then they get annihilated in 5. Who wanted that again? Who wanted this upstart team? And I'm not saying that any of the teams remaining were. But, like, what if it was Tampa-Edmonton? Right? Like, what if Edmonton somehow got past Colorado? Which, by the way, that was a disappointing... That's a disappointing conference finals. I'm sorry. Everyone was like, it was so much fun. It was back and forth and crazy. Edmonton didn't win a goddamn game. They didn't win a game. The only exciting game was game one, and they gave up 8 goals in the process. That was a disappointing conference finals. At least this conference finals in the East went 6. No conference final matchup went 7, which game 7 you can't beat in any round in any sport. Game 7 is elite. There was a sweep in 1, and after the Rangers won their first 2, Tampa came back, won 4 straight. There was no back and forth. This is going to be the matchup where one team's going to throw a punch and then the other's going to counter. Both teams are going to throw haymakers. Both can defend. Both have great goaltending. Darcy Kuemper looks like he's back. But this is the matchup that everybody wants. You got an elite goaltender versus an elite team of players. Vasilevsky basically versus Colorado. You've got Makar versus Hedman in the clash of two of the most unbelievable defensemen in the NHL. You've got McKinnon, Stamkos, the Canadian center matchup. Kadri versus Point. Point looks like he's going to be back. Kadri apparently is doing well. I don't know if he's back for game one or not, but there's that secondary matchup you're looking for. You've got the wingers of Rantanen versus Kucherov. It is as even as it gets outside of maybe Tampa Bay having the edge in net, which they do. They have the edge in net. This should be the best series of the playoffs. Because I got to be honest, the last two series weren't even the best series of the playoffs. Like, again, I'm sorry. Everyone who loved Edmonton, Colorado, did you love Tampa Bay, Florida? No? Okay. Well, that was also a sweep. It's a nice story that Edmonton was there, but I didn't buy it. Colorado just kept winning every game, and then they were done. Like, they took Edmonton out. Then now any problems? The last series that went seven was in round two. And it was the Rangers versus Carolina. You know, I still think one of the best matchups so far has been Toronto-Tampa. Yes, I watched it a little bit closer, but it was back and forth. There were lead changes. There were calls that affected the game. They didn't go the way I wanted them to. But like, when you were sitting there, so Elliot Friedman said this, by the way. He's like, I think the Rangers had the Lightning on the ropes more than the Leafs. I think that's recency bias, and I'll tell you why. So the Rangers were up 2-0, and in game three, I believe they were also up 2 or 3-0, and then lost. And then from there on out, Tampa came roaring back. And that was as on the ropes as Tampa's gotten. I beg to differ. Game six, Toronto's down 2-1. They score two goals in like a minute at the end of the second period going into the third. So they're up 3-2 in the series and 3-2 in the game. That's when Tampa was on the ropes. And it took a 5-on-3 in the last 10 minutes for Tampa to tie it and a goal in overtime after being outshot 13-3. That's when I think Tampa was on the ropes the most. But this matchup with Colorado, this is going to be one where if Tampa looks like they're up, Colorado's got a right hook. Like Toronto had a right hook. The Rangers, they threw their one haymaker at the beginning. They threw their bombs in the first round. The first round ended. They went back to the corners. Boxing analogy, by the way. And after the Rangers were up 2-0, round two comes out. And Tampa won the next four. I don't know what to tell you. I'm looking forward to the series. Again, Point looks like he's ready to be back for the finals. Apparently, he's very likely. That's a huge boost for the team. Kadri apparently is looking a lot better. I'm not guaranteeing he's going to go yet, but we will see. Anyways, it's the dream matchup. We called it here on the show. I can't wait. Starts tomorrow night in Colorado. It's going to be an absolute blast. These, I think, are the two best teams in the NHL regardless. And it's fitting that they clash for the Stanley Cup. Oh, by the way, both of them touched the conference finals cup. So it's not like one team touched it and the other didn't. So we will see who comes out victorious on this one. All right, let's move on here to some off-season news. And this involves a pretty big piece here. Apparently, goaltender John Gibson has reportedly told the Anaheim Ducks that he is open to a trade and a fresh start from the organization. There were also reports earlier saying that the Ducks were a little frustrated with the fact that John Gibson showed very disgruntled and frustrating body language when he was on the ice and that the team didn't really like it. There's been some back and forth going on, and apparently now John Gibson looks like he is ready to move on. There is that conversation, so we will see what happens from here. Gibson's got 6.4 left on his contract, 6.4 million per season for 5 more years. Now listen, I understand he has not been quote-unquote great over the last couple seasons. He's been trending downward. People are like, he's on the decline. Well, first of all, he's 28. It's not 34. Here's an example of why I think a team should take a chance on him. A lot of being a goaltender has to do with your situation. Right? Situation helps. Here's an example. Not this past season, but the year prior. Philip Grubauer was a finalist for the Vezina Trophy as a goaltender for the Colorado Avalanche. He got hurt, They didn't make it past second round. He goes to Seattle, signs there. Big 5-6 year contract at like $5.9 million. He's one of the worst goaltenders in the NHL this year with Seattle. A change of scenery makes a big difference. When you are in front of a good team as a goaltender, your stats are going to reflect it. Perfect example. Frederik Andersen had an injury plague season in his final year with the Toronto Maple Leafs. He was also not great. Toronto let him walk. He goes over to Carolina, signs a 2-year deal at $4.5 million per season. Frederik Andersen is probably going to be a Vezina finalist this season. He put up Vezina numbers on a way better defensive team in Carolina. Situation matters. Look at the goaltender who went from Carolina to Toronto. Peter Mrazek, really good numbers in his limited time last year. Comes to Toronto, trying to get rid of his contract. Sometimes a change of scenery going from a bad scene to a good scene is all a goaltender needs. And the Ducks defensively were atrocious last year. They have been for the last few seasons. Their only decent defenders on that team were Cam Fowler and Hampus Lindholm, who is no longer there. It is Cam Fowler, Kevin Shattenkirk, and I know Jamie Drysdale is a young upcoming prospect, but defensively, he is not there yet. Fowler is okay, and Shattenkirk is not great. They've got a bunch of kids on offense who are not great defensively either. Zegras and Terry and, you know, Getzlaff was there, but Getzlaff's getting older. And Ricard Raquel was there before he got moved, and he was also not great defensively. You know what I mean? So, there's a few different teams and landing spots that I think could potentially be good for John Gibson and actually make sense. There is a difference between teams that need a goalie and teams that can afford a goalie. Minnesota cannot afford a goalie. I'm throwing that out there. There's going to be some people like Minnesota would be a great fit. They're losing Marc-Andre Fleury. One, they're trying to figure out Kevin Fiala right now, who they're probably going to trade away because they can't afford him. The Ryan Suter and the Zach Parise buyouts are going to start punishing this team in the next year or two. Minnesota's the team I think is out. The first team I think that could be in, I'm not saying they are, but I'm saying that it would work, is Toronto. Now, Toronto has a goaltender they can send back in Peter Mrazek. Now, again, hear me out here. Everyone's talking about Peter Mrazek as if this is this impossible contract to move that you have to attach a first-round pick to the player who's in their 40s. Peter Mrazek's 30 years old and makes 3.8 for 2 years. The Anaheim Ducks have $40 million in cap space. And their starting goaltender requested a trade out. The Ducks also have Anthony Stolarz, and they've got another kid in their system right now who's on the way up. You don't think the Ducks wouldn't mind having an NHL-caliber goaltender for a couple of years at $3.8 million while their kids come up and develop and get better? We got to stop talking about Mrazek's contract as if it's the worst thing in the universe. The Patrick Marleau deal was different. One, it was a contract year for Austin Matthews, who's going to get a significant pay raise. So did William Nylander. Number two, Patrick Marleau was like 39 making $7 million. That's a tougher contract to trade. $3.8 million for a goaltender who's like a year removed from a .915 save percentage? Not the end of the world. And when you've got $40 million in cap, you could afford to take him on. Now, I think the Leafs have pieces, by the way, to also sweeten the deal. They've got their first round pick. They've got guys like Nick Robertson, Ty Voigt, Serdar Argachinsev. They have roster players to immediately impact, like Alexander Kerfoot, Jake Muzzin, Pierre Engvall, Ilya Mikheyev's an RFA, who's probably not going to return to Leafs. There's a lot to work with, and they've traded before with Frederik Andersen. There is a deal there that could make sense. Toronto gets rid of Mrazek's 3-8. They bring on Gibson 6-4. It's honestly, I was talking about this with a buddy. It's cheaper for Toronto to trade Mrazek for John Gibson without any cap or salary retained and let Jack Campbell walk than it would be to re-sign Campbell and buy out Peter Mrazek. If Peter Mrazek makes 3.8 for the next two seasons, the buyout is what? Half of that for the next four, so 1.9? So 1.9, let's say Campbell gets 4.5. That is $6.3 million to have Jack Campbell as your starter and not Peter Mrazek as your backup, as opposed to 6.4 to have both those guys off the books completely. John Gibson's your guy, and then you've got Eric Shellgren as your backup, or you sign a veteran to a league min contract. You know what I mean? I think some deal in terms of like Peter Mrazek and Nick Robertson and a fourth, or Mrazek, a first and a fourth, gets that done. You get the goaltender for a couple of years. You get the young, futuristic prospect you can dream about. And then you get a fourth just to kind of sweeten the deal. No money retained either way. Even if you wanted the Ducks to retain a couple hundred grand, I don't think that that would be the case. Toronto takes on the full extension. It would also be cheaper for the Leafs to not trade as many assets if they took on the full contract. So that's a team that makes sense. The next team I can see a trade working out with is the Oilers. The Oilers no longer have Mikko Koskinen and that $4.5 million egregious contract that they've had for the last 4 years. Mike Smith is potentially retiring. Duncan Keith is potentially retiring. If one of those two retires, it really opens up money. They've got Stuart Skinner as kind of their guy coming up. They've also got RFA players like Kyler Yamamoto they got to worry about, and they've got Evander Kane they got to worry about. Like, there's pieces they still have to worry about. But Jesse Puljujarvi could be the player that could go the other way along with a pick. You trade a pick and Puljujarvi, maybe even another roster player like a, I don't know, a guy who makes a cap like a Zach Kassian. Or if Keith doesn't retire, you send a Keith, a first, or a second in Puljujarvi. I'm making stuff up right now. I'm actually looking right now. It could be a very bad deal for the Oilers. But the Oilers were, their biggest issue was defense and goaltending. If you get a goaltender that covers up a little bit of the defensive woes and makes a big save here and there. Now, actually, in fairness to Mike Smith, he was great in the playoffs. But you cannot count on that for now 41 next year for Mike Smith. You get a big upgrade in net. Maybe you pay a little bit extra. Maybe like a first in Puljujarvi for Gibson. But they retain a little bit of cap for you, like $1.4 million or something like that. That brings Gibson's cap down to $5 million. I'm making stuff up. I have no idea if that's a good trade or not. I'm trying to understand here. That could potentially be a move. Edmonton has always been on looks for goaltenders for the last couple seasons. And if Mike Smith does, in fact, retire, that could very well open up the doors for Edmonton to kind of jump into the John Gibson sweepstakes. The final team I saw is Pittsburgh. And while I think obviously Jari would be one of the guys that would go, and maybe a Kasperi Kapanen. Apparently they're not happy with Kapanen over there. Pittsburgh's still trying to figure out Letang and Malkin. They don't have a ton of money to work with right now. They're both going to cost. I don't think Letang's taking a discount at any moment. Malkin might at like $7 or $8 million, but like, they don't have a ton of room to work with unless for some reason Anaheim's eating cap to an extent and there's just an offer that gets made from Pittsburgh that's just too good to pass up. Gibson would be really good there. I like Jari though. I don't know why. Jari's not a big the fans aren't a big fan of Jari, but Pittsburgh would kind of be the other dark horse team that could work, but their cap's also tough. There's a lot of teams in some cap situations, but Gibson's probably going to want to go to a team that wants to win. He probably doesn't want to go from another team like Anaheim. So like Ottawa probably wouldn't make a lot of sense if they were to switch in with Matt Murray. Cap-wise, it would work, but both players would go to like a different team, and they're both not going to make the playoffs next year, I don't think. So I don't know. It could be. We'll see at this point, but nevertheless, John Gibson saying that he's open to a trade really opens things up for some teams looking for a goaltender. Let's move on here. The coaching carousel. There are a lot of coaches, and apparently news is going to start picking up this week about who starts landing where. Barry Trotz, Bruce Cassidy, Rick Tocchet, Pete DeBoer, Jeff Blashill, John Tortorella, some of the names that are available right now, and some of the teams that are looking include the Flyers, the Jets, the Bruins, the Red Wings. Now, I'm not in the circle. I'm not going to predict who I think is going to go where. But I will say this, but there's a couple different coaches that I could potentially see, and I got some reasoning for it. But John Tortorella of Philly makes a lot of sense. Couple former players that he had when he was in Columbus, Cam Atkinson being one of them, loved him apparently. He fits the fan base and the attitude of Philadelphia. And I feel like if there's a direction, they're also in right now on Barry Trotz, who is also who would be a really big turnaround for that defense and goaltending system. But I think Tortorella fits a little bit better. Trotz to Vegas or Dallas makes sense to me. I just don't see the Jets being a team that can compete and offer him anything. The Jets will have a hard time specifically due to their location. It has been a problem with players in the past, aka Patrick Laine. But unless they can offer an insane amount of money, even then, I still don't think that's a big... So, for example, if Vegas goes, we're offering you $4.5 million a year for Barry Trotz, and Winnipeg offers $5.5 million, I still think Trotz goes, I'm going to stay in Vegas. I'm not going to Canada. I'll stay in Vegas. Think about where Barry Trotz is coached, by the way. Nashville, Washington, and then New York. Now it's Long Island, but it's 10 minutes away from New York, or however close it is. You know what I mean? Like, it's right there. I don't think Winnipeg's the destination Barry Trotz wants. I think he wants to stay in the States. I think he's going to make this decision based on his family. I think Vegas makes a lot of sense. I think Pete DeBoer makes a lot more sense for the Jets. I really do. I think Pete DeBoer, he's coached in the division before. In Vegas, he's been in San Jose. I think Winnipeg would be a really good spot for Pete DeBoer, and I think that's a good fresh start and to kind of re-understand the team moving forward, and that to me makes a lot of sense for Pete DeBoer to go there. Again, I don't know in particular where everyone's going to land, but that's kind of my two cents. Rick Tocchet's also a guy. Bruce Cassidy would be a really good fit in Winnipeg too, but again, Bruce Cassidy also might be a guy in Vegas. There's a lot of coaches and a lot of options for teams. We'll see eventually what everyone lands on, but as of right now, those decisions, by the way, could be coming in the next few days, end of the week, early next week. We'll have to wait and see. Couple more notes before I get on out of here quickly. The Predators are bringing defenseman Jeremy Lawson back on a four-year contract with an average annual value of $2 million. He was a pending restricted free agent. They acquired him from the Seattle Kraken in March in exchange for a second-round pick in this year's draft. Mikko Koskinen, as we mentioned earlier, is done with the Oilers, going back overseas. He signed with Lugano in Switzerland's National League. He was a pending NHL unrestricted free agent. He will be 34 in July, went 27-12-4 with a .903 save percentage in 45 games with the Oilers this past season, and 0-2 in the playoffs, while allowing 6 goals on 58 shots total. Rangers gave their fan base some good news the morning after being eliminated from the Stanley Cup playoffs. Vitali Kratsov signed a one-year, one-way contract with the team. The deal is a one-year and one-way contract worth $875,000. So apparently, he was a first-round pick from the team a couple years ago. He has been unhappy that he didn't make the team. He had 6 goals and 7 assists in 19 games with their affiliate team, but he was really looking for a bigger role. Now he will get the opportunity to do so, and we will see if Kratsov makes an impact and makes the Rangers roster, who have some cap decisions to come up and could use a player, young winger on their team that makes under $1 million. So we'll see, but some good news for Rangers fans moving forward. All right, that about does it for the show today. Thank you, as always, for listening in. Instagram and Twitter at ST Hockey Podcast, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. anchor.com, wherever you get your podcasts. Stanley Cup playoffs start tomorrow. The dream matchup, I cannot wait. Maybe some trades happen in the next week or so. I am so excited. I'll be ready to go for that upcoming episode, especially if a couple deals do go down and we get the Stanley Cup Finals matchup we have all wanted, and it really delivers on that promise. Until then, enjoy the rest of the week. I will see you next Tuesday. That's a wrap.